One thing about reading scripture is that you constantly need to be aware of what is the time in history of this scripture. What's happening? What's going on? Why do these words come at this particular time? God's people have not done right. This is not talking about the rest of the world. God's people have not done right. And God sends a message to them through Jeremiah. And God sends that message to them in a way in what they need to hear. And sometimes it's words that are not favorable. So I want you to listen to these words that I don't think the people would be terribly excited about when they heard them. Starting in Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. At that time, this people and Jerusalem will be told, a scorching wind from the barren heights in the desert blows toward my people, but not to winnow or cleanse. A wind too strong for that comes from me. Now I pronounce my judgments against them. Now moving down to verse 22. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. I looked at the earth, and it was formless and void. And at the heavens, and their light was gone. I looked at the mountains, and they were quaking. All the hills were swaying. I looked, and there were no people. Every bird in the sky had flown away. I looked, and the fruitful land was a desert. All its towns lay in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. This is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined, though I will not destroy it completely. Therefore, the earth will mourn and the heavens above grow dark because I have spoken and I will not relent. I have decided and I will not turn back. Knowing where the people are and knowing what's happening to them. Understanding that Jeremiah is speaking especially to the ones that need to hear what God wants to say to them. He's still in Jerusalem. Part of the nation has been carried off. And Isaiah is their prophet, off 1,000 miles away, bringing them words. And if you go and compare both Jeremiah and Isaiah, you will find it's a similar message in two different areas at the same time. God's bringing a message of judgment. God's bringing a message that people need to get things straight. Sometimes it's a message we don't want to hear when we need to get things straight, is it? I think about the life of Jeremiah and what happened to him and what went on for him, because at one point in time he was thrown in an empty well and they were hoping he would just die down in there. But somebody took him up out of the well, and he came back speaking the same words. What incredible courage Jeremiah must have had to go and tell the people, look, God is coming after you, and God is speaking to you, and God wants you to hear. Now, I want to emphasize that Jeremiah brings a message for the people who currently follow God. Jeremiah brings a message for the people who currently follow God. And yes, Susan, I caught my mistake. I was sitting up here looking at my notes before going back to sing, and I had written in my notes Isaiah, and who knows where that came from. So thank you, Susan, for fixing that on the fly. Jeremiah brings a message for the people who currently follow God. Jeremiah is not bringing a message for people that don't know God. Jeremiah is not bringing a message for the people who have not made a commitment to a relationship with God. Jeremiah is bringing a message to the people who follow God. That's important to remember. That is very important to remember. Because God's message is not favorable. And it would be very easy for us to sometimes hear messages like this and for us to say, well, the people in the world really need to get their act together. The case is, this message is not for the people in the world. This is for the people who say they're following God. And we need to hold on to that. It's a message that I have battled with all week. I even walked into Jan, and many of you know that I lay my topics out ahead of time and my scriptures ahead of time to help Jerry and Rachel to pick things that will go along with the best that we can find, music that will go along with the scripture for that week. So ahead of time, they get my ideas of what I'm going to do for a message. And I remember there was one time this week after dealing with this and looking at this and searching this passage ever deeply, I walked into Jan and asked her if she could find the person who picked out the scripture to preach on for this week. This is a tough passage. It's a passage we don't want to hear when we consider it deals with people who follow God. Not the people outside, but the people who follow God. And it's very easy, like I said, for us to say they need to listen to this, whoever they is, by the way. But everybody knows who they is, don't we? But sometimes I need to bare my soul and I need to sit down and look at what God's saying. And sometimes I need to realize that God brings me a message sometimes for me personally in words that I really don't want to hear. And it's easy for me to kind of pass the buck and say, well, I know who this message is for. So I've done some deep searching this week as I've been with this scripture. And one of the things that I've realized is that God looks and searches for those who are doing God's will. God looks and searches. When I just think about God looking over the face of the earth and saying, "Where are the people that are doing my will?" That part of it, God looking, I expect that. I expect God to be looking. I'm hoping that God's looking and watching over me. I'm hoping that God's right there to help me when I take a wrong step. I'm hoping that God's looking. But then when I consider the fact that God has to search for people doing God's will, that part surprises me. What do you mean God's looking at God's own people and saying, I'm having to search for people that are doing God's will? That's where I got to say, whoa. Am I doing God's will? Am I doing where God wants me to be? Am I part of what, or is this message that comes through Jeremiah, is this for me? Is this for something I need to be looking at in my own life? It's so easy to identify it in other people's lives, isn't it? And I learned from my being bullied childhood, it takes one to know one. Anybody ever heard that? Somebody calls you out and calls you, you're a such and such. Yeah, well, it takes one to know one. And you see, sometimes it's so easy for us to look around and go, yeah, they're not doing God's will. It takes one to know one. Are you looking at yourself first? Scripture calls and asks for me to do that. Not to be looking at other people. Because who can I change? Can I change anybody else? Can I control anybody else and make them do what they're supposed to do? I know there are some people that think they can. But can you? You can only change yourself. So sometimes we need to stop and look. Because what God sees is believers living foolish ways, and they will be judged. Now, I would venture to say is, as you walk out the door today, if I were to look at you and say, you know what, you're a fool, I'd venture to say this next week would not go well for me. What do you think? But here is God who has been looking, God who has been searching, and God says, all I can find is a bunch of foolish believers. Yeah, you guys listen to this. Isn't that what we want to do? Sometimes, folks, we need to look. We need to decide, what is it that maybe we're not doing the way God would want us to be doing? What is it that maybe we're walking that we believe is the right way, but it's not God's will? I mean, some of the things in the Lord's Prayer that really gets me, and sometimes I wonder, should I be praying them? God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do I really want that? I want that except for when God has to tell me about something, right? When God has to look at me and say, you're not walking my will. But wait a minute, I just pray. And the special, I keep waiting. Almost, it's 29 years of ministry for me. And I keep waiting for the day when we say the Lord's Prayer. And there's two phrases I keep waiting for everybody to be silent on. Lord, forgive me the exact same way I forgive somebody else. Do you really believe that when you pray? Forgive my trespasses as I forgive others who trespass against me. There seems to be a lot of people in our world right now that have a lot of anger and hatred toward other people. And it's boiling over more and more. Would people be able to pray, Lord, forgive me my trespasses the way I forgive other people? You know, because sometimes I have a hard time letting go of things. And sometimes, you know what they did to me? I'm right in the way I believe about. I'm right in the way I treat them. Maybe I need to step back and go, you know what? I'm incredibly aware of everything that God's forgiven me of. But yet I'm going to hold some little simple thing about somebody got served before I got served and not let it go. You know, Jesus tells a parable about that, about this man that probably owned, if we translate it into our terms, owned a ruler millions of dollars. And the ruler said, I'm going to throw you in jail for that. And he said, please, please, please don't. And the ruler said, okay. And the man leaves the presence of the ruler, and somebody owes him $5. He says, you and your family will be in jail until you can pay me that $5 back. And when I look at what God's forgiven me of, what somebody else does to me is probably really not worth $5. So what does God say? I mean, look at this. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They're skilled in doing evil, and they know not how to do good. Is God's will your top thing? Is that your top thing? You know, this passage, it should be a warning to us that makes us examine our ways. It should be a warning to us that makes us examine our ways. We weren't there during the Babylonian captivity. We weren't there. But the great and valuable thing about many scriptural stories is that I can learn from their experience. I do not need to learn on my own. Some of you have raised more than one child, and oftentimes one child, typically an older one, speaking for myself, I'm the eldest, got in trouble at different points in times. And the younger ones went, aha, don't do that because you get in trouble. Now, I will admit, sometimes the younger ones go, let's see if I can push it further. But sometimes the younger ones learn and go, you know what? When dad's asleep on the couch on Sunday afternoon and you wake him up, you do not wake up a pastor. My kids learned that. And the younger ones went, he's asleep. The first indication I'm asleep is that I'm snoring, by the way. So it was not hard for them to tell. So when we read scriptures like this, even though it directly relates to the people of Jeremiah's day, even though it directly relates to the Babylonian captivity and what the people needed to hear, sometimes these are words that we need to hear. Now, I told you I've battled with this all week. And I said, Lord, I really don't want to preach a sermon all about bad things. I really don't want to stand up here and say, you better examine your ways because look what God says about us when we don't. I found a little phrase in there that gave me some hope. There was a little phrase that stood out to me as I read the scripture over and over and over again. And I said, God, why is this one phrase standing out? Because it's a phrase right in the middle of all these words of great hope. And it'd be very easy for me to read this passage and almost never see that those words are there in verse 27. This is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined. Though I will not destroy it completely. though I will not destroy it completely. And I was like, what a word of promise, what a word of hope, what a word of excitement, what a word. It says, examine yourselves. Look at yourselves. Are you living God's ways or are you living foolish ways? Are you trying to control situations or are you letting God control situations? Trust me, I needed to hear this week. I picked this scripture out 4 months ago to preach on. Guess which week I needed to hear it? This week. And God knew that. I will not destroy it completely. There's a promise in these words of judgment. I will not destroy it completely. I know this gets over into the doctrine and the understanding of there's always a remnant. But I guess what I want to say is God gives us the choice whether we want to be part of the remnant or not. I can continue to live foolish ways and not listen to God. I can continue to be senseless as I walk in this life and do whatever I want to do as a believer. Because, there's a passage that Paul writes about that says, everything is legal for me. Yes, there is a passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul actually says that. Everything is legal for me. And then Paul goes on to say, if it causes somebody else to stumble, I choose not to do it, even though it's legal for me to do it. Which means sometimes we can't do the things that we have a right to do if it causes somebody else a problem. Folks, this passage talks about us searching ourselves and searching ourselves deeply. It says that God looks down upon the earth trying to find people that follow His will, and He's searching for that. You know what would be great? If God didn't have to search when He looked in this town. If God didn't have to search, and God said, look right there, there's a whole bunch of them. They're living the way I asked them to live. They're following the commandments and statutes. And by the way, there's only two you need to follow. That's it. Just two. It's nice to know about the whole Bible and all of them that are there. But there's two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And Jesus says, and the second one is just like that one. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he says, if you follow those two commandments, you will follow everything that's in Scripture. What does God see when He looks down upon you? When God looks down upon me, God sees somebody that's trying to control a whole bunch of stuff. Which causes me a great deal of stress and anxiety and worry and panic attacks. What if I were to trust God and just follow God's will? When God searches us, what does God see? Be honest with yourself. Because the truth is, God knows. When God searches us, what does God see? Let's pray. Lord, walking this spiritual life is tough. Many of us have grown up that we've got to take control, that we've got to be independent, that we have got to grasp and get what we want. And yet, Lord, you teach us something different. You teach us that we've got to let go, that we've got to slow down, and that we've got to wait on you to put things together. But then it comes right back to us to try to grab a hold of things and get going again. Because if we don't, somebody else will. And Lord, that's where your people, the nation of Israel, have gotten in trouble throughout the history of them being a nation. And Lord, that's where churches have gotten in trouble. Help us to set aside everything but your will. And help us to see as you rebuild things, instead of taking things under our control and trying to force issues to happen. Lord, may we trust more in you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.